Well, hello there, everyone. How are you doing?
Hello.
That's really annoying. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Oh, look, harmonies.
This is where you go, and then you got to add the seventh.
I apologize, listeners. That's got to be one of the worst openings of not just this podcast, any podcast in the world.
You want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
How are we doing, fellas? apparently we're banging.
Damn, Blake's gone today. All right.
We're banging steel drums with a large stick, or at least that's what it sounded like.
That's so for those who don't know, who are new to the podcast, we use a service called Riverside. And sometimes what the Riverside allows us to talk to each other and record this. And sometimes it just decides, not today, fellas. Not recording
it was
right
punishing
now.
Us for that sound that I made, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
I think so. Do you have a WordPress.com cup?
Yes, I do. I got it at NAMM.
Oh, it's a NAMM thing. So, yeah, when you go to NAMM, there'll be all kinds of companies like that. Just gives you
free stuff.
Out of all the things I'm jealous of, that's the thing I'm the most jealous that you
own. I'll tell you why.
Well, because I work with WordPress daily and have done for 8 years. Whereas I'll warrant the very most Mr. Weiland ever does is poke someone with a stick until they poke it with a stick. So I feel slighted by this.
No. What I do with WordPress is I go in there and go, what is all this? Richard? I don't understand what this is. Nah, I go a little bit deeper than that.
I feel let down, WordPressers. What's going on this week, gents?
I have a WordPress cup.
I am trying to finish my DIY course at guitarpedalcourse.com.
Oh, but you've been plugging it this whole time and it's still not done yet?
I'm still
crying out loud.
It is so massive. It turned into like, just throw a couple videos up to, this is going to be a 40-hour project.
Congratulations on getting your advert in the first 2 minutes of the show, though, Bri. That's a new show record.
I'm working on my plugging skills.
Literally, don't
say that.
Your what skills?
Plugging.
Okay.
And maybe that's an old ad agency term. I don't know. If you plug something, is that
has many different meanings and
especially in the UK. Yeah.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be careful with that. It's actually a swear. It's banned in England. Does that work? Will I get away with that one, Blake? I doubt I will.
It is not banned in it. It's not.
I saw a fascinating documentary this weekend about one of the biggest bands that never cracked America properly, Thin Lizzy.
Okay.
Well, not commercially successfully in the time the time that Phil Lynott was alive, unfortunately. And he, of course, died quite young. But what a band. What a great documentary. Are you both Thin Lizzy fans? Same. When I hear those twin guitars, I'm like, of course, like the very first Thin Lizzy was one guitar player, the kind of whiskey in the jar, which, and there goes Brian.
What? I don't know what that means. So when we lose Brian, since he's the host, I'm not sure what that.
Well, it says 99% uploading. I guess we wait for a minute and see what happens with Brian.
All right. Seems that it's illegal to talk about Thin Lizzy in Martinsville.
Apparently, this is like the third time we've mentioned the word T-H-I-N Lizzy, and it's crashed somebody.
We were talking about the tone, Bri. We were talking about that twin-tracked guitar tone.
Yes.
Which still does it, by the way. Like, watching it back and hearing some of the different guitar tones on the document, I was like, this still gets me going. This still makes me want to immediately go and play guitar. And there are very few sounds that still do that.
I was always told, my brother, my older brother, Jim, told me that it was Tin Lizzy was how it's pronounced.
For real?
As a kid.
Kind of. I mean, if you said it with a very thick Dublin accent, it would come out as Tin Lizzy.
Really?
But yeah, I mean, I don't come from Dublin. I am very minorly Irish bloodline.
Me either, therefore, but I like to drink a beverage from there.
Yes.
I did on this last St. Paddy's Day, which was on Sunday. I had a Guinness myself.
Well, I had a Guinness the day before because I was confused as to which day was St. Patrick's Day. Because over here, it's not as big a deal as it is in your country. I'm just going to let you know.
Really? Irish
holiday,
not as big of a deal in Ireland.
Firstly, I live in England, and any Irish
Yeah, but it's closer to Ireland.
I got in trouble with Scottish listeners. I don't want to get in trouble with the Irish listeners because I do like a Guinness. But I was going to say, Blake, I had a Scotch on St. Patrick's Day. I finished off a bottle of Scotch just to make up to my for my sins in the past. But did you have a big St. Patrick's Day shenanigan?
We do every year. We cook up boxty. We, you know, smoke some sausages and, you know, made soda bread and the whole thing. We were in...
Attempt to sell my mum cheap tarmac for her drive?
Yes.
Oh, no, I've done another really crude British Isle stereotype. That did happen once. It was just after the M25 was built.
But I did actually go... I was in a suburb of Dublin on St. Patrick's Day, and it is a big deal there. Let me tell you that.
Sure, sure.
It's a big deal there.
I mean, it's a big tourist day for them. Southern Hampshire, not so much, right? It's like, yeah. But a good excuse to drink a drop of the black stuff. And like I've said before, my love of Irish music is huge, and one of the influences behind Thin Lizzy was definitely the traditional folk music, because their biggest hit initially was Whiskey in the Jar, which was a traditional folk song, probably first made famous by the Dubliners, but has been covered by a number of people.
Didn't Metallica cover that too at one
yes,
time?
Yes, they did. In fact, Matey Boy from Metallica, James Hetfield, was on this documentary.
Did you say Matey Boy?
Matey Boy. I couldn't remember his name for a second. I knew it wasn't Kirk Hammett. I was
Matey
like,
Boy.
What was his name? So I was like, Matey Boy. He was on it talking about how they influenced...
I'm going to steal that old Matey Boy over there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's a common phrase over here.
Is it, right? Really?
Well, probably more so in the 80s.
So over here we say old boy. Old boy, you know, singer. That fella.
Yeah, we would say, if you can't remember someone's name, you'd be like, Matey Boy over there. And then it's not impolite. It's like, he's my friend, but I've forgotten his name temporarily. Wow. I digress. Yeah,
anyways, interesting.
You don't just say, that guy?
No.
That's, all right.
Yeah, we say, back, old boy.
Back to Thin Lizzy. One of the periods of Thin Lizzy that was really interesting from a kind of, you what was the period when Gary Moore left and they got Midgeur in from from Ultravox, but a lot of people will know him from like Band-Aid and all that, who's really like a pop singer. And the story was just brilliant because it was like he got a call from Phil Lynott, who said, look, Gary's left, we need another guitar player, do you want to come and join? And he's like, sure. And he was like thinking, oh, well, I'm probably going to have a couple of weeks to get ready. And Phil was like, right, can you get on the next plane and get over? And he's like, okay, at least I got the plane. But I think the plane was also a Concorde. It's like a 4-hour trip. And he was there and he had to learn like the whole set list and then be ready to go on stage the next day and take over from Gary Moore. I mean, I think someone makes the point in the documentary, he had... large cojones, balls of steel, yeah. I think is what you would say to do that. But yeah, what a great documentary, what a fantastic band. And definitely, there would almost certainly be no Iron Maiden without Thin Lizzy. I'm sure you could say, oh, well, that's rubbish and whatever. But for me, that was the kind of natural progression of my listening. It went from like Queen, Rush, Floyd and Bowie, which was my brother, and then Thin Lizzy and AC/DC, which was also my brother. And that was kind of how my music got a little bit harder, rocky in the day. So yeah, I love Thin Lizzy. It was a great documentary. They are a fantastic band.
I listened to Thin Lizzy quite a bit in the typical way that somebody my age would, you know, hearing them on classic rock radio and all that stuff. But my biggest memory of Thin Lizzy is a bit of a weird one. I used to work with this older biker dude, and he was showing me some photos from the biker rally he went to, which featured lots of biker things, including people on the back of said motorcycles attempting to catch hot dogs in their teeth, which is a traditional biker thing over here. And Thin Lizzy was playing at this biker rally, as it turns out. So yes. It's like, this is a very odd mashup of things that I didn't think would
Richard
go together.
Richard looks so confused. He's like, catching hot dogs in
I'm
your
trying
mouth.
To figure out if this is on a euphemism or code.
No, it's literally what it is. They ride on the back of the motorcycle. Someone's driving it. They ride on the back of the motorcycle. They go under a hot dog that is dangling from a string and attempt to catch it in their mouth.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to America, bud.
America. America.
I thought I knew everything.
Hang a hot dog and catch it in a mouth.
Oh, sheesh. Well, yeah. Okay.
Richard looks like he's about to pass out. That offended him so much.
I mean, there's nothing non-offensive about all of those activities. That's maximum offense to my sensibility.
My point is, Thin Lizzy was playing the background music, apparently, for this event. So,
and again, what a prolific songwriter. And he wrote, you know, one of his most beautiful songs, Sarah, is for his little daughter, and he then had another daughter and had to write her a song. What a beautiful legacy to leave, like a daughter, a song for each daughter who never really got to know you as an adult because you accidentally died too young. I mean, that is probably the poet in all of us wants to leave that legacy behind, I think.
I'm going to play this song I wrote for my daughter while you try to catch this hot dog between your lips. Now go ahead.
Yeah, it just sounds dodgy no matter how you say it. It got worse there. I tell you what we do have to talk about on Patreon, the crazy conspiracy theories going around my country right now. But before we do, Bri, you've been involved in some conspiracy theories yourself.
I was going to say.
There's been one or two mild sharings of a few words that you have uttered on the interwebs in the last couple of weeks. Have you given literally every single magazine in the country an interview in the last 3 days and forgot to tell me or something?
It seems like everything kind of hit at once. Yeah, I did a bunch of different magazines and podcasts and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the Playboy one really freaked me out, but sure, why not?
You really revealed a lot in that one. It was almost like Burt Reynolds.
You know, they said they wanted the full centerfold spread, and I went, all right, I'll do what you want, I suppose. I mean, I got nothing to hide. You got nothing to show either, but I got nothing to hide.
I'm going to need a little tiny hat.
More like a thimble. More like a thimble more than a hat, really.
This is still the PG part of the podcast, gentlemen, so I'd like to bring you back.
I was talking about for his hair. What are you talking about?
My hair, yeah. Oh, let's not
criticize a man who's not got quite as many active follicles as he once had, although I watched a guy on TV today have one of those mini hair transplants where they glue somebody else's hair onto your head. Would you ever have that done, Bri? Because I'm losing mine. Like, not quite as bad speed as yours, but it's catching up, Bri. And mine's coming from the back more. And you know what? I'm like,
I got that too. I got back in the front.
I'm like, screw it. I am what I am. Like it or leave it, right? And I think that's a normal way of being. But men, not so much.
Well, some people are super sensitive about it. And I think, I mean, I am a little bit, but I also just accept it. It just is what it is. You know, it's like one side of my family lost hair in the back part of their head. I have that. The other part of the family, my father's side, you know, lose it up front, like a big forehead. I have that as well. So I got it from both sides.
Wow. Pretty soon you're going to be the rocking the Costanza.
Pretty much. And I, so I'm like, you know, if that happens, I am just going to rock it like crazy and just be that guy.
I'm just going to shave it all off. But I think I've digressed a little bit and got you out of the hole of talking about the articles that you were in. But
sorry.
I'm going to bring us back because...
So like, basically, like, I tend to get asked the same types of questions, you know, especially like after the germanium tumness thing, which is like, how do you feel about that pedal shooting up to $800, even $1,000 on the used market? And I'm like, well, I think it's dumb. I would never pay that much for a Klon-based circuit with these special diodes. I mean, because you could find the diodes. Our problem is we can't find 10,000 of them.
Sure.
So, yeah, you can find 10 or 20 on the, in a lot of different
even
places.
100 here and there.
Yeah.
But,
yeah
which reminds me, I did nearly buy 100 IN34s or 1N34s, sorry, off eBay. But then I thought, you know what I want, I should think about getting is one of those little are they continuancy testers for testing semiconductors that show you the forward voltage? Because I don't think a regular multimeter shows you the forward voltage of a diode, does it?
Yeah, it's got a diode function on it.
Okay, yep. I'm just stupid and don't know how to use my multimeter then. So, but I think I can...
So it's the black bands, like that's what everyone... That's what people are looking for. The one... Because there's different types of one end.
Sure. No, but it's all about the black bands. Is it forward voltage? That's what you're looking for on a diode? I forget. It's been a while since I looked at it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So, but going back, I mean, I know that I set up that interview for you with Music Radar, which I thought was excellent and covered literally everything that probably, you know, professionally we've been discussing for the last 12 months or so. And I thought that was a great article. It felt to me like the one that came out in Ultimate Guitar, who are also great guys, by the way, and I talk to some of the writers there all the time. That feels like that was kind of like made out of some of the choice statements you made in that interview, plus or minus some things you may have also said on other podcasts you've been on recently. So I think it was...
Probably, yeah.
You know, it's fair to say that Ultimate Guitar thing was... And clearly it's a clickbait article because that's how those guys sell advertising, by getting you to look at their site. But I think it took multiple sources and kind of gave the most salient pieces. And that has caused you to be on the internet at midnight every single day for the last 7 days.
Well, it's twofold here. One, so no shade thrown towards Ultimate Guitar. I understand like how
that's
that
their job.
Media works, right? I get it. You know, when I create YouTube videos, I'm always looking for what's the best title to put on this video. So I understand how it works. But what's frustrating to me is when people read the title and they're like, who does this guy think he is? Like, he controls the used market. And I'm like, folks, I don't get like, you're putting too much faith into media for one. For two, like you got to read the between the lines. Like go through the article, read what I actually said. And so I said a couple things, which is, yes, I don't think, I would personally never pay $800 for a used, or for a tumness in general, or a Klon. Like I'm not going to pay $800 for a Klon.
I mean, I would pay $800 for a Klon because I could sell it immediately for $5,000.
Right, I mean, I would only under the premise that I could resell it for more, but it... If they were worth $800 and they were for selling for $800, I wouldn't spend $800 pedal. So
no, I wouldn't spend. I mean, that's £700. I wouldn't spend that on anything other than an amp or a modeling unit. I would never spend that much on a single pedal. So that is a crazy price.
But I also But I also said that I'm the person that would, instead of buying a pedal, if I can find a schematic, I'll just breadboard it real quick if I want to know what it sounds like. Because it's quicker, it's easier, and it's cheaper for me to do it that way.
For you,
For me, right.
Yeah,
but that's
not
me,
for most
and I know
people.
Also, some people just really love the idea of buying a thing and turning it around, playing it for a little bit and flipping it and getting their money back. I understand that that's the way some people like to do things.
I'm looking at you, so, Matt, you know, King like, Flippy. You know who you are.
But ultimately, I'm like, I am not the one that sets the rules for the used market. So,
what?
And that's kind of how it's like. Is like, what was the headline?
That's not my understanding. I read this article.
Why we need to drive down the prices on the secondhand pedal market.
That's not what
we even like. Pointing back at myself, don't need to do anything. Yeah. I don't need to do anything. Like, I'm just saying.
When I saw that, I was like, that doesn't even sound like something that Brian would say. Like, we need to drive down the prices in the guitar, but what? What? I immediately opened it up and was like, meetings.
Like, that's not even his approach at kind of running the business. It's like, we must do this. It's just not the way he does things. So it was clearly.
I'm way more laid back than him.
I don't know if you're ever heard Brian seriously say the words, we must, right? We must. Like, he's.
We must drive down. That's not a me thing.
So there was some spinning, but I will say this, Bri. Yeah. The Germanium Tumnus is one hell of a great pedal.
It sounds good for sure.
Right.
But I mean, you know, like, a person with some soldering skills could take any kit-based Klon and get something similar, because electrons flow how electrons flow.
And you know, I'm going to tell you all, you're going to get pretty close with a regular Tumnus, because germanium diodes, silicon diodes. The difference is there,
it's a little different. It's a 5% difference thing. But,
right.
But you could also buy 10%. Some of these.
Go
on Small Bear, buy some of these germanium diodes and stick them in, or beg Analog Man to send you two of his. And, you can get the same thing, just with a little bit of soldering.
I'm just taking notes here. Beg. Right, got you. Yeah, fine. Borrow,
steal.
I guess what also makes me frustrated when people insinuate that, like, I had this grand plan to only release a limited amount of Tumnus with germaniums, and then
so
I was
far
gonna
from
stand
the
back and profit.
How am I
benefiting from this? I'm not benefiting at all.
Well, I mean.
You don't directly benefit from somebody else selling a thing they own?
No.
It's
not me selling $800 Tumnuses. It's other people And Josh Scott went through this whole thing. He goes through this like every time he releases a limited run pedal, right? So it's just like, folks, it just does not work that way, man.
No. I'm going to give you a little insight into how the decisions were made around the Tumnus and the germanium Tumnus's viability. Huh, I've managed to source some germanium diodes. They would sound cool in a Tumnus. Yes, they would. Let's make it. That's it. That was
the plan.
How
many do we have?
Yes.
Okay. Let's split it up between the deluxe and the mini. That's how that went. And then I woke up one morning.
And then I'm going to go to bed.
frantic Richard going, oh no, we've almost sold out of everything. And I'm how did that happen? I haven't even woke up yet.
I thought it was a good thing.
Send a newsletter out. Like, so it was not expected or planned or anything like that.
But again, this isn't about that specific release. This is about the nature of articles in guitar magazines and the reality behind what drives those articles to be made. Because much as Brian likes to say controversial things, he rarely does it to camera, on record, or with a journalist in the room. So it's kind of difficult to get him to say those salacious things unless you're prompted in the right way. Or you threaten to take away his bowling alley full of water bottles, which apparently he's very, very...
Geez. Did my wife post something on Facebook?
There's one other way. There's one other right way, Richard, and you're leaving out the most important one. You can hear Brian say some pretty controversial stuff over on Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You definitely can. No, it wasn't posted on Facebook, Bri.
Is that what you're looking at? Post something?
No, she has told me she's worried about you, Bri. She said that you're planning to close the pedal business and start a bowling alley. And your special idea was to make a bowling alley out of water bottles. Am I not reading the situation correctly? Are you not planning on giving up germanium for water bowling activities?
I tend to go through a lot of bottled water. A lot. And I mean, fun little fact about me. Okay, here, this an insight
Brian
into
drinks
the
water
weirdness
like
of
a
me.
Regular human being. Shock! No, so ultimate guitar
I
story
also
of
don't
the week.
Drink, I also do not drink the last bit in a water bottle. Never have. Never will.
Why?
The backwash.
Are you worried you're going to get sucked into it?
I'm just a little strange, Blake. For some reason, on an unexplainable, illogical level, I believe that the last drink is tainted, shall not be drank. And so I don't drink it. I never have.
But it's the same drink as the rest of the drink.
Hey,
do you do that with a beer?
Here. This is.
Well, it's funny you say that, Blake, because I had a friend, God rest his soul, Del, great music tastes, got me into all kinds of music, spent some time with his family in Albany, New York, and that was just like, he was well into his hip hop. Fantastic guy, but he passed away very, very young and tragically. But he had this thing. He would go into the fabled Iron Horse, order a pint, and then just knock an inch off the top of the pint. Like, he would get rid of the head, like the top bit, and he's like, that's always the worst bit, and it goes to the bottom. I'm like, you're just weird, man. But that was
I don't think that's how that works. Whoa, what?
I just got a loud bing in my ear, and I don't know where it came from.
Oh, yeah, I don't hear anything. So it might just be the voices in your head.
I think it is.
Again? I thought the pills had stopped those.
No, no. That's Carl, your other friend in your brain.
Okay. So, yeah.
That's okay. This podcast is a portal to another dimension. You're fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we started off at Thin Lizzy, and we've gone, like, literally everywhere via Brian's weird water drinking habits to the Iron Horse.
Oh, anyways, I never explained it. So I save all these last drinks to put in one large bottle that we then use to basically give water to the plants in the house.
To the children.
Okay.
No, the goats. Children, drink from the special bottle.
No, it's for the plants in the house, right? Just because, like, why throw it away? Just
no, and it's at room temperature by that point, and it's probably, you know, not full of fluoride and the other stuff the American government puts in their water, you know.
Exactly.
LSD.
Why not? Right. All these preservatives in our water the government's putting in.
Formaldehyde, sure. Chemtrails,
so anyways,
why not?
So, whilst accumulating the bottles, I've managed to make this pyramid, like you would find bowling pins. And I'm like, you know what? I will put these out and the grandson and I will bowl. We'll have fun and make a game of it.
Did you remember to do all the lids up?
Yes.
Okay, because that could have been a disaster in a room full of electronics.
Honey, why does the kitchen smell like backwash? What's going on?
Right. And peanut butter. Mm-hmm. Traces of peanut butter. A backwash.
No, your good lady wife texted me a picture and said, ask Brian about this. I was like, okay, if you tell me to. It was pretty funny. So I think we're pretty much done on the ultimate guitar stroke, other guitar things you've been in, Bri, but can you predict some secondhand prices for me? Can I get a Line 6 Pod Go cheaply soon? Will that happen?
You really want one of those Line 6 Pod Go things?
Actually, looking at the new Express. I think one of our good buddies, was it Michael Freer or Dave Trombetti? One of the two has just picked one up and I'm asking him questions on Facebook because I quite like the idea of that. Dave Trombetti, yeah.
Is it working the effects loop good?
Well,
it
here's does, what I said.
I can
said,
see that. I don't like the looks of it, though.
No. I'm talking about the little Pod Express, the little pedal with the two switches. But I said, can I create presets on the phone app and then dial them in with ease with the stomp bots? Because for me, again, as I said to you, Bri, for just gigging with a band, like the idea of being able to go, you know, put in this song and it send it to my pedal and then we rehearse the song, brilliant. That's perfect. That saves me so much. And he said, yes, I believe there are 30 presets that are overwritable. So... I'm gonna have to get one, I think, because the full size one is about £400 or 500 of your American dollars, but this is about 200 of your American dollars, and that's a lot more attractive to me. You know, as I said before, I don't like to spend money on pedals when I can make them myself.
Why don't you just bring your MacBook and, you know, load up Logic or whatever and just run your guitar through
with
your
a monitor,
MacBook.
Yeah, and monitor speakers, with the, yes. Sure. Take yes. that with me too, yeah. Brilliant. I mm-hmm. love the way this is sounding.
Well, I mean, with a good interface, you could just run a line out.
Yeah, my interface is one U rack unit, so I'll take that too. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, go ahead and pull that. Yep.
Yeah.
Disconnect so I take the whole desk as well, so yeah. I've got the controller, keyboard, yeah. drum machine, and the synths. Yeah, is that needed?
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Now mm-hmm. you don't need to buy anything.
Insane.
Problem
Utterly
solved.
Insane.
You could also make sure you bring your MIDI controller. Then we can have your soft synths on board. You know, you'll be really set up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, perfect. I'm not buying this from either of you. I think you're evil.
Well, we're not selling it, so of course you're not. We're just suggesting that you do this because I want to see it.
I am.
That's
very
a low budget way to do it.
Okay. All right. Sold. What else have I got for you this week? Oh yeah, I know what I've got for you this week. Did you see
Richard's new name? I just.
you'll have to explain that on the Patreon.
So, I'll keep that for Patreon. Sure. Richard's new name.
Yeah, make me look like a bigger idiot than I really am, please. To
That's probably more of a Patreon thing. So,
it probably is.
Yeah, so, I mean, for those who are on Patreon, you'll get a kick out of Richard's new name. But yes. If you're not a member of our Patreon, and it's an inside joke.
You should be.
You want to be a member. You should. You should sign up right now. It's only like a price of a cup of coffee. You know, I don't know why you're not, but you should. Go do it right now. Anyways.
We've got guitar stuff to talk about, Bri. So I'm gonna rattle through a couple of things very quickly. Fortnite have added the Strat and the Precision bass into their game. So really? That kids can go and get a virtual Strat or P bass and jam in a kind of sub game that has been described to me as being a bit like one of those Rock Band type games,
like Guitar Hero type of
Guitar like, Hero type game. Yeah, that's a pretty clever idea. That's that's next level marketing from Fender. They are really aiming it at all of the age groups there. Well, mainly 30-year-old dads getting beaten by 12-year-old children, but. That's just my view of the.
What is a Fortnite? Isn't that a?
It's two
like,
weeks.
Isn't that like a? Yeah, like a couple weeks. So I'm still confused.
Have you never played Fortnite?
It's a video game, dude. Virtual world. Sort of
this
thing.
Is like when I talk to him about films, Bri. He knows nothing about video games. That's not his world. That's our world, Bri. Our special realm.
It's kind of like a shooter,
Blake.
Game.
Come on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, let's start at the beginning. Have you played Wolfenstein 3D?
Yes.
Right, well then it's like Wolfenstein 3D, but way better graphics.
What does that have to do with different. Rock Band or Guitar Hero?
Well, now Fender has put the Strat and the P-Bass in the game. So, like,
so you
get
kill people with a Strat?
Part of the thing with all these games is like collecting stuff. Like people spend money on pixels. I don't understand it, and I wish I could somehow capitalize on it better than
so
I have
like
done
NFTs.
In the last 30 years.
It's basically kind of like an NFT.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, I mean
within a video game.
Yeah, so you buy your P bass or your Strat, and then you go and jam. What if you don't like Strats though?
Yeah, what if you like Telecasters?
Exactly.
Les Pauls.
That's an upgrade.
I mean, it will be.
Well, I agree. It'll
cost a little extra.
Yeah.
That'll cost a little extra.
Yeah, that's
the next thing you know, someone will need to bake pedals for Fortnite, and I'm here for this.
Wampler pedals in Fortnite. Okay.
I would do it in a heartbeat. That would be fantastic.
Do they have pets in Fortnite? If only there was some high-quality, stylish pet boutique that I could send them to for their products.
If there was a website that would offer that...
Something like styleupyourpet.com, perhaps. I like the way you're thinking, Bri. Listeners are going to think, like, we've got a bet to see how many times we can advertise our completely random things, but...
That's what I'm starting to think. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm starting to think.
No, clever marketing from Fender. I'm not so sure about this one from Gibson, though. The Theodore guitar. Did you guys see it? We talked about it when they uncovered the design of it 2 years ago. Now they've actually put one out at a, like, budget level, quote unquote, for $2,000. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. I have views, but Blake, I suspect you're going to love it. So I'll listen to your positive views first.
Well, I admittedly, and I talked about it on the show, I didn't love it when I first saw it a couple years ago. I'm like, ah, I mean, I kind of get it, but I also kind of get why it didn't come out as well. It's not really my thing. But I have to say, I did get a little sneak peek at these when I was at Gibson. And I actually, I think I talked about it on the show, but I actually got to hold the real original plans that they found, which was really cool. And I do have to say that guitar is, I mean, it's weird how much better it looks in person. I was confused. And
that was my overriding thought was, for some reason, and it was because of the show last year or whatever it was, for some reason, I was in my head going, don't be put off by the photos. It's going to look much better.
The photo So the shape of it reminds me of the I don't know emoji. Like, that's what it reminds me of.
A little bit.
A shrugging man.
Yes.
Interesting. Have your eyes tested recently, Bri? I'm just putting out there.
Done what?
Had your eyes tested? Because to me, it doesn't look
That's what it looks right. like. It looks like the shrugging emoji.
Okay.
I don't like I don't like it.
Well, I'm in the middle at the moment. On photo, it looks appalling. Blake says in person it looks good, but I have no need for a guitar like that. I'm thinking about buying myself a mod shop jazz master.
You know, why not just focus on making... I realize that they're, you know, not the only company that does this, but they've been making the same couple guitars forever, just new versions of it. How about just make a really good and affordable version of those?
Oh, you're speaking my language. This is exactly what I think about a number of markets right now. It's like, stop going after the high-end
They just
end
did that
money.
And everybody got mad. Because it wasn't exactly the same. They just did another, like, basically what I considered the spiritual heir to the Faded series, and everybody was furious about it.
How much was it?
I think it was $1,800, which is,
we're talking like $500. Put one together for $500 that kids can
You can't.
Yeah, still
you can't. You're not going to build a guitar in the United States and sell it for $500.
Everybody,
it's not going to happen.
Hey, there's only $5 of parts in a guitar pedal. There's only $100 worth of parts in a guitar.
That's right.
Wait a minute.
How dare I forget?
Wood's free. It literally grows on trees.
Out of nature. You can't charge for guitars.
Strings are basically made in sweatshops by Blake's employees.
It's just old random, you know, thrown out metal.
It's just untangled.
It's just metal, wire. You can go down to Home Depot and get wire.
That's right. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, it basically should be free. Actually, ripping off people by charging people for guitars.
Wire is really expensive at Home Depot, actually. Maybe I'm in the wrong business.
Because it's copper. You guys don't even use copper.
You should start using copper. No, entirely copper wires. I want them to stretch. Yeah, they should stretch as you play them. They should be completely untunable by man. And then Gibson can invent a robot tuner that's just continually
moving.
I like
introducing
this.
The new Slide-O-Matic neck. It grows with your strings.
Can't decide what scale length you like? Don't worry. It'll always be changing.
There needs to be more novelty guitars.
Scale length, yes.
Bri, I think you should invent a Slide-O-Matic neck. A neck that, I mean, actually, we're joking, but a neck where you could adjust the scale length. That's my second best idea today.
The only problem is those pesky frets. Yeah. They just get right in the way when you do that.
Velcro frets. Other brand.
Velcro, there you go.
Fastener Velcro fret. So you can just reposition them. Velcro fretboard with like Velcro metal fret. This is genius. What's not to love? Speaking of Gibson, though, did you see the new limited edition double neck they released? The Jimmy Page one?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
The one that you didn't have an advertised price for and you had to call the garage to find out?
I believe the price is $50,000. Or there.
And your firstborn. And your firstborn. Yes.
And your firstborn's firstborn. And in fact, entitlement to your entire heritage. So that's a lot of money to pay for a guitar that isn't a vintage. Played
people
by a musician.
Complain about limited run pedals, and there's $50,000 guitars out there.
They're probably all sold out too.
This is what I'm thinking, Bri. Why don't we release a fuzz face, and why don't we make it the, I don't know, Hendrix tribute, but in no way officially associated with Hendrix, and right. release it for $10,000.
We call it the Hendrix fuzz, but we'll spell it. You know, I-C-K-S.
K-S.
And we're like, this is Tom Hendrix, my buddy who lives down the road. It's about him.
He spat in every enclosure.
That's right.
We'll call it the fur face.
I will say that
we'll build five of them and we'll charge $100,000 a piece and we'll profit. And then we'll ride off in the sunsets on our yacht.
Now you're talking.
Stroke really Lord
enough
knows.
Money to buy a yacht, but still, that's not the point.
I will say that $50,000 is way too much. I mean, I can't say it's too much. Some people probably bought it, and it's probably, like I said, it's probably already sold out. It's a lot of money. I would never spend that kind of money, even if I had
it. Yeah, I mean, if you were a crypto bro, sure, hang it on your wall.
Why not?
If you've made all your money by buying up all of the housing for average working Joes and turned it into some kind of massive housing complex that no one can afford and are therefore profiting, put it in your office.
If you're an average, honest,
working Led Zeppelin fan, you're not buying one of these because, let's face it, you're never going to play it, are you?
Why not?
It's huge.
You're not letting me get to the one cool part about it. Other than it's kind of interesting.
Hinges down the middle so you can fold it.
Yeah, that's it. No, everyone is played by Jimmy Page, and that's kind of cool. They play it.
Is it?
He signs it, and they give you a little placard with the pick that he used to play it, and it's kind of cool. Not worth $50,000, but kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, that adds $1,000 to the price of anything. Maybe five.
I was gonna say $500, but
yeah. But so yeah. You know, that, brilliant. What are you getting for the other $45,500? You're getting
bragging
a guitar
rights.
You're never going to right. But bragging rights are dumb. That's like saying I've got two germanium Tumnuses.
Hey, I'm not trying to sell it to you, Richard. I'm just saying there's some cool things going on with it. It's way too much money, but that you know somebody's
there are
it.
Now. Being conscious of time, I've got to mention, Bri, have you seen our friend Sinister Gates' new Death of a Poet edition of his Schecter guitar?
But actually, I just missed him coming to town. He was in town and I totally spaced it.
So he's hand-finished the artwork on all of these. It looks like he's kind of done a bit of a Jackson Pollock-type spray effect with like blobs of paint, and they look cool as, and there's like a limited run of them. But what was interesting is it's the first guitar to be authenticated on the blockchain, Bri.
So Brian's really into that type. He's a smart dude.
Smart dude. Again, it's great marketing. I'm not really sure what it means. Maybe he'll let me know at some point, but it's a very clever idea. I really like those guitars as well. Don't you have one of the Schecter, the original Schecter?
Yeah, Brian sent me one.
Yeah, I actually really like those.
It's great. It's a great guitar, man. I mean, it's very much a rocker, right?
Yeah, sure. You're not going to use that to play Bridge Over Troubled Water, are you?
Is that a David Bowie song? Is that what that is?
That's a Simon and Garfunkel song, but I do believe that it's been covered by a couple of your country and or Western musicians in the past.
The crazy thing about this Sinister Gates model, this is the weirdest thing I've ever had happened with a locking tremolo. Tremolo. That's the word. Tremolo. So when it got shipped to me, it was perfectly in tune, which is like, and I mean like dead on perfectly in tune. It was the weirdest thing ever. I'm like, wow, this wood does not move a bit.
That's impressive.
So I was impressed. Yeah.
Yeah, that is impressive. It has to be said, I've said it before, that much as I make light of how much I hate changing the strings on my Floyd Rose, nothing stays in tune like my Floyd Rose. It's just such a great guitar.
Just locked in there once they're set up. It's a smart design. It's just it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with at times.
It is a lot to deal with if your mind is as feeble as mine. Now, speaking of guitars, last one, did you guys check out the gold Joe Satriani Ibanez that I linked to you? Brian, look at it. Just look at it.
I'm looking for it.
It's actually like gold chrome spray plated. So that's the effect where the paint actually forms like a very thin layer of basically gold chrome effect. It is not the kind of guitar that the weak of heart should try. But when you do become,
it is Dr. Fingerprint Evil, City is what it is.
It's Fingerprint City. It's I've just dented my guitar and now it's Ruin City. But wow, what a guitar.
It does look cool though. I mean, I wouldn't probably gravitate towards that necessarily. It's a little bit much, but it's undeniably cool looking.
Well, a good friend
Why
of mine.
Why would any website want to send me notifications? Is there ever a time that I'm interested in that?
Brian, don't you spend all your time on TikTok? Huh. I mean, surely you know how this game works now. They want to harvest your organs and they want your permission in advance.
I want no notifications. If I go to a website, no, I don't want you to notify me. I'm with you on that.
Silver-plated guitar for you now. We have a copper-plated guitar for you now.
Add something to the website. Every time a person visits, one, put like five ads in front of them.
Yes.
Two, always ask them if they want notifications. And then when they say no, say, are you sure? Will leave a completely
next.
How about as well, when they go to click on yes for are you sure, I'll make the yes like move 20 pixels away from their mouse in a random direction every time they try to click it.
They can't click on it. You cannot click the
moving
around.
I love that. And then and if we you put finally, in a dancing baby gif.
And and if you finally get it, then it will next ask you if you want to share your location, and you'll have to do the same thing all over again.
And then it will throw 10 pop-ups up saying you need to install this spyware blocker because you now have spyware installed. Which I will.
And then
have
your
done,
friend will be texting you saying, "Didn't you see that link I sent? Didn't you see that link I sent? Didn't you see that link I sent?"
So, final serious subject for the week. It is serious, but it's beautiful and serious. Mark Knopfler, he of the Dire Straits fame, has released a charity single for the Teenage Cancer Trust. So, for America, you would go to teencanceramerica.org. If you're in England, there's a UK version, but it has got every guitarist who is anybody playing on it. I recommend that everybody who listens to the show buys it. It's like 99 cents or 99p. And I'll tell you why, because it opens up with the last ever recording of Jeff Beck playing. And saying this now, the hairs on my skin are prickling up because it is such a beautiful passage of play, and you immediately go, oh, wow, that's Jeff Beck. And then you remember that Jeff is no longer with us, and you're like, this is beautiful. But it's got everybody on it, Bri, not just Jeff Beck and...
everybody? I wasn't asked.
I mean...
They read your quotes in a magazine, and they decided it wasn't a good fit.
They scratched my name off the list.
Yeah, it wasn't a good fit.
Every famous guitar player ever, Bright. Really, I would say. I mean, we're talking the who's who.
Give him some names. Guitar playing. Go ahead. Give him some names.
Well, obviously, as I say, Jeff Beck, but Joe Bonamassa's on there. James Burton is on it. I'm deliberately starting off slow here. Sonny Landreth, Albert Lee, Alex Lifeson, Steve Lukather, Hank Marvin, Brian May, Tony Iommi, Steve Cropper, Ry Cooder, Eric Clapton, David Gilmour. What? Ringo Starr,
what?
Bruce Springsteen, Nile Rodgers. This is Tom Morello, John McLaughlin, Orianthe. This is literally a who's who of all the great guitar players that
Sting,
are around.
Well, Steve Vai, Joe Walsh.
Yeah. I see no Brent Mason, though.
Well, Brent Mason isn't on it, but Brad Paisley is.
Brad is.
So yeah. Keith Urban.
Vince Gill's on here.
Yeah. Vince Gill, absolutely.
Oddly Freed. Oddly's a super nice guy, too.
Rick Nielsen, Joe Satriani. Jeez.
They allowed Clapton to do this?
Oh, really? Come on now. He can play.
Really? He's all right. He's
all right. I mean, everybody on this.
He's never used a G bender or a B bender. You know?
He probably has, Bri. You've got to listen to this. You've got to. Given it, honestly, it's also one of the greatest tracks of all time. It's just so well done. You're going to love this. And the best thing is you can hear the guitar. Like when Tom Morello plays, there's no doubt that's Tom Morello playing. Mm-hmm. When Brian May plays, there's no doubt that's Brian May playing. Not going to say Gilmour stood out, but I'm pretty sure I spotted him in there. But it is a fantastic record. And all charity proceeds go to the Teen Cancer Trust.
That's fantastic. That's buy
it now.
I will definitely give that a listen. Maybe I'll do that while we're doing our Patreon episode.
There you go.
Just listen to that the whole time?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I do.
The whole episode. Right, excellent.
Hey, speaking of Patreon members, I really need to give a shout out to our executive producers.
I'm going to read it in a normal voice. I'm not going to do any of the funny stuff.
Come on.
I can't. Well, I'm naturally stupid. Look, I'm going to do it normally. So, Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Nat Haas. No, I'm not going to do it. Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the Band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson. Oh.
Go ahead. We just had a last minute addition that just popped in.
Vidar Frostad. Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks. I need some new picks, remind myself. Patrick Fournays, Dylan Talks Tone, Scientific Uppercut, who's making some awesome DIY things at the moment. Kevin Harrington, the nicest man in the world. Barry from Grizz Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young of the Man the Helm podcast, where Brian spills all kinds of secrets. Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibarito, Nick Spano, Sasha Sir, whose book I must start reading again because it's excellent, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Pedals, Alison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, no, not that one, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bauman, Christopher Logan, Jason? Jason Engelhart, Dacro Hawk, Dylan Lewis, and a mysterious Josh.
That's all it says.
Just Josh.
Just Josh. Just upgraded to executive producer 22 right. hours ago.
My man, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Josh. And we can not confirm nor deny that last part of their name is possibly Scott. But it's not. It's just
Josh. I can confirm it's spelled Josh.
That's right.
Well, thank you, folks. We'll see you on Patreon. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts, Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.